Right, the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you're happy and you know you say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I give a small title to what we're going to discuss today, and I called it Thanksgiving for Difficult Times, and then Prophetic Declarations for Tomorrow. And we're going to use two portions of the scriptures for that. Habakkuk chapter 3, we're going to read that. Maybe we should start from there, and then open your Bibles also to the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Now, so you are going to leave your Bibles open to Isaiah chapter 49. That's what we're going to use mostly today for our prophetic declarations. But I want to just explain a principle to us again. And for that, let's begin from that Habakkuk chapter. There's a principle here. And I'd like to go over something I said again before. I said it before, let's say it again. Just read this time around from verse 17. Where I really want to read from 17 down to 19, but I just want to explain something. If you read from verse 16 and the preceding verses, and this is very common amongst the prophets that you find Isaiah down to Malachi. You see, a lot of them, quite a number of them prophesied destruction. Do you understand? A lot of them prophesied judgment. I was sharing with my wife yesterday as we were discussing the issue of Joel chapter 2. You know, in the book of Joel chapter 2, you see Christians often quote that as if referring to the army of God for exploits. And the principles there can be applied. But if you look at it, Joel wasn't talking about that. He was talking about destruction and judgment, invading army of God. Mostly, I think the locals was talking about. But the armies that were going to come to judge the land. It was very, very common amongst the prophets. And that's the same thing you are seeing here in the book of Habakkuk. And for that reason, he said, let's read from verse 16, because my Bible is that in a segment, 16 to 19. But what I want is from 17. He said, I heard and my inward parts trembled. At the sound my lips quivered. Decay entered my bones and in my place I trembled, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. That's what I was referring to. Joel also talked about that day of distress in that Joel chapter 2. For the people to arise who will invade us. Now, listen. Here he's describing the situation of life that he was about to face. And I will teach slightly to help us understand what we are saying boldly and clearly, so we can declare boldly. Now, he was about to step into distress, and we'll see, as I will explain the principle to us again, early this morning, my wife and I were discussing, and we're sharing the word of God, and I explained the difference between afflictions and cross, all right, that we're talking about cross. Every Christian has a cross, and I explained that the cross of a Christian is not the difficulties of life, but the cross of a believer is the sacrifices he makes so as to make his life a blessing to other people. Are you getting the point? Alright, that is when you take up difficulties you experience difficulties because you are walking, you are making your life, like Paul said, a drink offering. Your life is being poured out as a drink offering. That's a cross. But our Christians also go through afflictions. And if you remember, we discussed on Saturday and on last Tuesday that, as well as this last Saturday, I explained the fact that afflictions is like a barometer that God leaves and uses the opportunity that if Abraham had had a child, God would have nothing really to use to call him at that point in time. So when Abraham didn't have a child, God used that as an opportunity to speak to the man. Therefore, afflictions are like that in our lives also a lot of times. Now, the afflictions don't mean that God caused them, but they can be used as a barometer, because what God is doing is that he said to Abraham, walk with me, and then I'll make nations out of you. And until Isaac is born, Abraham was supposed to continue walking with God. And that the birth of Isaac was a sign that Abraham had reached a particular level of fulfillment. And I said that in the afflictions of the life of a believer, the same thing occurs. Now, that we read from Psalm 63, that David said that even when I am in a difficult place, I'm in a dry land, you know, I will still seek God. You know, that's what he said. He said, I will still seek God even though I'm in a dry place. He said, I will seek thee in a dry place, in a dry land where there's no water, where normal people should be seeking water. I will be seeking the Lord. Do you understand my point? Now, what I meant from what we explained is that we are not, as believers, supposed to be seeking solutions primarily to our problems, but see them as the avenue by which God has now drawn our attention. So we keep seeking the face of God. And like I was sharing with my wife this morning, eventually they will come. You'll find out that the problems have vanished. It is not because you were knocking at them, but because you were focusing on seeking the face of God. And when you discover his face, his very presence will repel darkness out of your life. Are you getting the point? Now, so we explain that, therefore, Christians must not go around grumbling about problems in life. No, we must know the attitude that God wants us to have concerning these afflictions. So, Habakkuk was explaining here. He said, I heard and my inward parts trembled, and at the sound my lips quivered. Decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. For the people to arise who will invade us. He now said, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruits on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt or rejoice or lift myself up in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. Now, this is the attitude of believers. Do you get my point? Paul wrote, he said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice to the Philippians. That is, rejoicing is a commandment for Christians, even in the time of their afflictions. Are you getting the point I'm making? We must never forget that. The rejoicing is a commandment for Christians. I taught a message then, which I call the spirit of thanksgiving. And let me refer to it again. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Job chapter. That's a Job. Jonah chapter 2. We know the story in Jonah chapter 1. How Jonah found himself running away from the presence of God. And then he caused problems for the sheep. And then they threw him into the sheep as a solution to their problems. And then the Bible said in verse 1, if you read the end of chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, if you read between verse 15 and verse 17, what really happened to Jonah was not discussed at this point. We know that Jonah was thrown into the sea. And then verse 17, God appointed a fish to swallow Jonah. Now, I want to explain something to you, which I said then. Please go and get the message. I don't have time to explain that in details. What happened here was that after Jonah was thrown into the sea, he began to pray. The fish was not waiting for Jonah. I hope you get my point. Don't think that God did not intend for Jonah to drown. Jonah was going to drown and die. I hope you get my point. Jonah was supposed to drown, all right, inside that water. He was supposed to die. I hope you get what I'm saying. But then what happened? Jonah, realizing that he was about to die, he began to pray. And when he prayed, God now sent a fish to go and deliver him from his troubles. So in verse 1, Jonah now began, the account of what happened to Jonah was now given. Then Jonah began to pray to God from the stomach of the fish. And he said, I called out. He said, I called out of my distress to the Lord. And he answered me. And this was a prayer he prayed from the stomach of the fish. That is, before now I called. And what I'm saying is that what happened was that my being in the stomach of the fish is an answer to a prayer. I cried for help from the depths of Sheol. That is, I sunk into the depths of the earth. That's what he was saying. But God said, thou didst hear me. For thou didst had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. This was what happened as he was entering into the waters and going up and going down. So that's what he was describing. And all thy breakers and billows passed over me. That's what I was in the waters. So I said, I have been expelled from thy sight. Nevertheless, I will look again toward thy holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. Are you getting what he's saying here? And that's what happened to Jonah between verses 15 and 17 of Jonah chapter 1. So Jonah kept on saying all of this. And then, what was he doing? He was now giving God thanks. Let's just rush down. He said, while I was fainting away, as I was beginning to drown, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came to thee, into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation, he said, is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Please don't forget, in that message, I explained the spirit of thanksgiving. You see, the life goes through different stages. There was a stage in which Jonah was in distress, and in that one, he cried out. And God brought him out stage 1, out of distress, but not into an open place. Are you getting my point? He was not going to drown anymore, but he was still in the stomach of the fish. It's not a nice place to be, all right, for 3 days and 3 nights. But what happened was the man, while he was there, he said, I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed, I will repay. What's the point here? Even though he had not fully experienced deliverance, but he still realized that he was supposed to give God thanks in the midst of the first stage of his deliverance. Are you getting my point? That is, he was supposed to give God thanks. He was going for something, full deliverance. When he was about to drown, he cried out to God, and God gave him stage one deliverance. It's not full deliverance. He has, at least he's no longer in the critical stage of about to die. Alright? But he was not fully delivered yet. And what am I explaining? Every one of us will pass through this stage. Most of us are in this particular stage. We are not where we would like to be, but at least we're not drowning currently. And the attitude of a lot of people is that they start complaining, they start grumbling, they start whining, and that way the fish never vomits them out of his stomach onto dry land because of constant grumbling, not recognizing what God has done already. Are you getting my point? So, now, what we are going to do today is, number one, we are going to give God thanks despite and because of the current situations in our lives. These are Christian habits. He said, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. That plays my wife play once in a while. My wife and I, we play in the house. Like, I just say, okay, what if somebody just, God just say, okay, I sent somebody to go and dash you $1 million. What are you going to do? So I told my wife, if I won't tell her what I told her yesterday, if that girl was to do something like that, no matter how spiritual you are, you probably won't sleep for 2 days. You have never seen that amount of money before. Because you were afraid that if you sleep now, it might turn out to be a dream. Now that you are awake, let's keep the dream alive. You know that kind of thing. Now what am I saying? The Bible says that I rejoice at thy word as him that finds such an amount of money. Are you getting my point? Yes, the word of God should keep us joyful, bubbling, being happy. All right, when we focus on our problems, that's it. The fish will just carry us like that. And after a while, if you stay there for 4 days, you start getting digested. Do you follow my point? And like I say all the time, there are many Christians that God delivered halfway. Eventually, the fish digested them. Yeah, that one I have noticed. I've been studying the word of God for a very long time. For a very long time. An active study of God's word. This year makes it 23 years. That is actively studying. I started in 87. Alright? That's when I started. I remember very well. Remember the first materials I read. Alright? No, actually I started reading in 86, but 87 was when I encountered brethren that had books and materials around them. And since then, I have been constantly reading the word of God for all these years. And I have noticed, alright? Watching the Christian walk. See, God doesn't disappoint people. Many people, you think that God disappointed. They were the ones that disappointed God. Do you follow what I'm saying? Moses did not enter the promised land. Not because God was very, very, very wicked. But because God looked and said, Moses, now what? Anyway, sure, you can't enter. What am I saying? Sometimes, you see people walking with God, something now goes wrong. So what happens a lot of times? Now, there are different things that will happen. Different things. One of them is that Jonah is delivered halfway. He now sits down and says, God, for all the cry where I cry, this is the only way you could get me. Do you follow my point? After all this crying. I mean, there were people that, they were sinners. They could have killed them the day before. They didn't. They could have left their dead the following day. They didn't leave the day. They left them to die on the same day as Jesus Christ. There was a reason. Use the opportunity to repent and confess your sins even on the cross. One of them, what was he doing? He was whining and complaining. He said, look, this is Christmas. You said he deliver people. Why can't he deliver us now? And the other one said, my friend, will you keep your mouth quiet? You are a sinner. You are dying for your sin. This man has not done anything. Now I come beg. He said, please, remember me when you get into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this man, you are a saved man already. You may die physically, but you shall live again. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Instead of the man to use the opportunity, at least, Father, I thank you. I know I'm sentenced to death and I'm dying. But at least I'm down the same day as Jesus Christ. Let me just shake his hand so that we can move together. He started whining. Listen, there are opportunities everywhere. I'm telling you. That was opportunity for forgiveness. Opportunity for eternal salvation. You know what the man did? He threw away the opportunity. He started whining. Do you get my point? And that's what a lot of people do. You see, so I say, but this man was walking with God, was believing God. Why did things now go turn wrongly for him? You don't know. One of the problems I have found out is because of this principle. A lot of people don't, there is this general principle, they don't start thanking God. And listen, this is not be play. If Jonah did not pray that prayer, he would have drowned. When he got into the belly of the fish, if he did not start rejoicing and giving thanks, he would have been digested after a while. Do you get my point? A lot of believers don't do this. Please get that message if you don't have it. The spirit of thanksgiving. All right? I explained this in details. I don't want to go over that again. But I just want to bring out the issue here. That Jonah was delivered in stages. The first stage of delivery, he cried out to God. All right? Of deliverance. He cried out to God. And God brought him out into that first stage. Then the next thing was to start acknowledging God and thanking him for the situation that he was in at that time, though he had not reached exactly where he wanted to get to. And I'm persuaded that it's the operation of that principle that brought him out, that tickled the stomach of the fish, that gave the fish indigestion. If Jonah had sat down there grumbling and whining, after a while, the fish would have started digesting him. And you'll have heard the story of one man who cried to God and the feces digested him. Many of us, we have to be careful that life does not digest us. I'm telling you, if you complain too much, you will be digested. Yes, people have been digested every day. He doesn't have a job yet, so he prayed, and then one day, God opens a small door. I know you have a friend that's earning 200,000 naira a month, but God opens a door for you, say, you manage the 25K first. He's after all, I do any half a million better than me. Because if the first month on that job, they sack you on top of it. It's digestion. I mean, instead of waking up and saying, Father, I thank you, at least now I have a place to go to in the morning. The Bible says that, Paul was explaining that, look, every man should work so that he will get some money to be able to be a blessing to other people. He said, God, this money may not be plenty. At least with this one, I can bless somebody's life. My cousin can phone me now and say, Uncle, things rough. And I send him 500 naira, 1,000 naira. Father, I thank you. But no, it's not looking like that. Say, God, when I was praying, this was not what we asked for. We asked for this other one. But God said, but at least the fish has swallowed you now. You're on your way to the shore. But the man is there whining and complaining and grumbling. So what does God do? He said, okay, digest him. And that's it. You're getting the principle. All right, so we're not here to talk plenty today. We're here to use what we have already learned. So, all right, we are going to do what we did last time. We are going to rise to our feet. And we are going to begin to give God thanks. What did I say? Hey, let's rise to our feet now. How about waiting? Why are you doing like I wasn't talking to you? So, we are going to start. I said you should open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 45, right? Yeah, so we are going to start from there. We are going to use that one mostly today. But let's start from Psalm 103. It said, bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, there was something we did last time. I want to do it again. You know, I said something to us before that, the best words to use in prayer, all right, is the ones already recorded in the Bible. They are fantastic. Is that okay? They give you guides and they give you literal words to use in prayer. I'm going to start, let's read from Psalm 103. We'll read it together like we did last time. And then after that, we are going to begin to pray. All right? And I said we are doing two things. We are giving God thanks for difficult times. And after that, we'll issue forth prophetic utterances. Because what's happening actually is that you are going to the shore. Did I hear an amen? Amen. I know we are all talking today. Don't forget, we are in this fraternity of Christ. Can you remember? If you're a cult member, say amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, and I said we eat sacrifices. Don't we eat sacrifices? Yeah, we do. All right? We do. Jesus said, yeah, if you don't eat my blood, eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't know me yet. You're not in my cult. We have eaten the sacrifice, the main sacrifice, which is the faith, which is by our faith in Christ Jesus. We have eaten his flesh and we have drunk his blood. And we keep offering sacrifice. And I said before, when you offer sacrifices, all right, that are acceptable to God, go and check the Old Testament. Most of those animals that were sacrificed were eaten by the priests. So when you are giving thanksgiving, when you are offering up thanksgiving to God, what you are doing is that you are eating your own sacrifices. No, we said that before. And after that, we begin to use what? What's the word? Our incantations, all right? The Bible, the proper Christian word is prophecies. Prophecies, prophetic utterances, all right? We describe the shore that the fish is going to release us into. Are you getting my point? By prophetic utterances, we describe the shore. Right now, we may not be there yet, okay? But we know we are going somewhere. These things, the Bible said, they were recorded for our learning. 3 days and 3 nights. That was that was the period that Jonah spent in the belly of the fish. How many days? 3 days and 3 nights. That is, he was there essentially for a long time. That's the way we'll put it. 3 days and 3 nights. But this was after he had asked for deliverance. If you have ever asked God for greatness, for breakthrough, for great things in life, say amen. Yes, so he has brought, God always answers prayers. I said it before, God always answers prayers. The problem is that people don't know how he does it. So a man prays for something. Do you get my point? And then he doesn't receive it fully yet. So he thinks that God has not yet answered. I said it's not everything that, go and read the Bible. The Bible says very clearly that God did something and it was good. He created this, created and said it was good. But so we automatically assume that everything that God did was good from the beginning. But it's not so. At the point in time, God looked at his own work and said, this one is not good. Where did he say so? He looked at Adam and said, it is not good that this man is alone. But who made him alone? He made the light, he said it is good. He made the sun, the stars, he said it is good. He made the grass, it is good. He made the firmament, everything separate, he said it is good. Then he finished making the man and said, it is not good that I made him alone. That means he made it, he declared it was not good. And then now let us perfect that which we started. Therefore, I will make him a helpmate that is suitable for him. He now caused the man to sleep. What am I saying? The perfection that God is bringing into your life can come also in stages. Do you get my point? Yes, he brings you out in stages. So Adam wake up and say, even ordinary goat get meat. Ordinary goat, chimpanzee get meat. What is God doing? Wine. I mean, look, you just have to be alone for 3 days and 3 nights. That's what God is saying. The last day, I will now cause a deep sleep to fall upon you, and then I will now make a help suitable. But what we like to do is to whine and complain. Say, hey, God, come, let us see you. Today, I saw ordinary birds flying, and they were flying in pairs. How did you make me alone? What did they do, yourself? Do you get my point? So you have a lot to thank God for. Is that here an amen? God is taking you to a particular place. We know we are going somewhere perfect. The Bible says that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Do you get my point? You are getting closer. In fact, one of the reasons why the fish probably took 3 days was, you know, to swim to the shore, it go far. If you grumble, the guy will miss road. Alright? But when you give thanks all the time, the guy is on course. Alright? To bring you to that shore. Please, you will not be digested in the name of Jesus Christ. And the reason why you won't be digested is because your thanksgiving will stimulate the stomach of the fish. You have no choice but to head for the shore and vomit you onto the promised land that God has promised you. Are you getting my point? So while you are in the bottom, in the belly of the fish, what you do is you are declaring concerning that shore. And there's one song we used to sing when we were young, that there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. Can you remember that song? Oh, that's how you know when you were born. If you were born before 1985, don't bother putting up your hands. But all of you born after 85, you won't know those songs. You know the song? There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way. I can't remember the final words. To prepare us a dwelling place there, we shall meet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. You see what I'm saying? If you can see it by faith, say amen. A good land that you are going to, which you have not. I mean, you have been the series of life, all right? The problems of life that seem to disturb you small is just that you are swimming in the belly of the fish. Don't worry. It will soon throw you onto the good land, onto that shore. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right. I said, the Bible says, Psalm 103, it said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Everybody, I'll read one verse and you read it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Repeat that verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. He said, who pardons all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Let's turn it around. Who redeems my life from the pit? Who crowns me with loving kindness and compassion? Who satisfies my mouth with good things? So that my youth is renewed like the eagle. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's start, therefore, let's begin to give the Lord thanks in our own words. Say, Father, I thank you. I thank you because you have caused me to know you. Because that's the most important thing. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Say, Lord, thank you because you have caused me to know you. Thank you because I have received eternal life. Thank you because by faith in Christ Jesus, I have been redeemed. Say, thank you, Father, because you have delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and you have put me into the kingdom of your own dear Son, in whom I have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for you have pardoned all my iniquities. Say, Lord, I thank you because you have healed all my diseases. He said, thank you because you have redeemed my life from the pit. Don't forget, it is your thanksgiving that is stimulating the situations of life to move you onto the shore that God planned for you. Don't forget that spirit of Jonah we've talked about. The spirit of thanksgiving. That is, yes, I may not be where I'm supposed to be yet, but at least I know I am going to the shore. Say, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because of the good things I can identify. I don't have a job yet. Lord, I thank you because at least I'm a candidate for looking for a job. Oh, no, I don't have a wife yet. I don't have a husband yet. I don't have this one yet. At least I thank you. I'm a candidate to think about such things. Lord, I give you thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I want to do my postgraduate. Father, I thank you, but at least a man that wants to do postgraduate, it means he did first graduate, if you understand what I'm saying. He has done the first one. So, Lord, I thank you for the first one that I have. I thank you that I did not drown. I thank you that when life threw me into the depth, I did not drown. I called out to you and you have brought me up to this level. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ because I did not drown. I may not be where I want to be yet, but at least I'm not where I used to be. I thank you because information that I know you, God, is the all that I want. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that they may know you, the true God. That is eternal life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have eternal life. Say, Lord, I thank you because I have eternal life. Give thanks for his word that he has caused you to understand. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm not walking in darkness. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm not walking in darkness. But I'm walking in the light of the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, death cannot hold me down. In the name of Jesus Christ, death cannot hold me down. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, I want to open your Bible, like I said, to the book of Isaiah chapter 49. Let us look at something there together. I've read from here, if you have been coming on Saturdays, we looked at this scripture and it's such a beautiful one. Isaiah was speaking prophetically. And this, for me, it was such a powerful, powerful word the first time I heard it. When I read this scripture. He said, listen to me, O islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He also has made me a select arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. Now, I want you to understand something here. From verses 1 and 2, he was describing a situation in which somebody is being prepared by God. I had my own personal experience with this. You've been prepared by God. You are so sure that God wants to do something great, all right, with your life. All right, now in the last line of verse 2, he has hidden me in his quiver. He said, he said to me, this is part of my preparation, all right? When God was creating me and shaping me and making me into something, he said, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will show my glory. And this is what happens to most of us as believers. You go to places, you go to church, you read a book, and such a strong word is released concerning your life. Are you getting the point? Yeah, such a strong word is released concerning your life. And, you know, God says that, yeah, you are going to be something great. So you hear powerful words. Do you get my point? And then there are times you have tried to take steps. Maybe you attended a seminar talking about entrepreneurship and powered by something. This one was powered by the Spirit of God. And then you got up to start business. The first $10,000 you put down, you saw it last after 2 weeks. You don't know where it went. All you know is that before you tried, you had 10,000. Now you don't have anything again. You're just on your own. And that's what he meant. He said, verse 4. After God said by those prophetic words that you are my servant, O Emeka. You are my servant, O Banking. You are my servant, O Uforma. You are my servant, O James. Whatever your name is. In whom I will show my glory. Then after you lost your money, you came back in verse 4 and said, look at it, verse 4. But I said, I have toiled in vain. I have spent my money for nothing and for vanity. Are you seeing that? He said, but one thing I know for sure. He said, surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. I want us to read that together. I said, yes, surely. The justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. Let me just explain something to you here, because we're talking about Thanksgiving. He said, my reward is with my God. Let me tell you something. The fact that you made an effort is recorded in heaven. I don't know whether you hear what I said. The fact that you made an effort is recorded in heaven. There's one man I heard of, I didn't read the story myself, but I heard about him, an American businessman. When he wants to hire people, qualifications are good, amen? But if you tell him you started a company and it collapsed, that's why you're looking for a job, you hire you sharp, sharp. You can call him qualification, he doesn't mind. But if you just mention, say, what were you doing before? Say, ah, my friends and I got together to start this business, but after 2 years, everything disappeared, we don't have anything again. And that's why I'm not here looking for a job. He hires you on the spot. He said, this man has guts. That this man is a real man. He can get up to go and get something done. What am I saying? The fact that you tried, all right, is recorded in heaven. I say something all the time to believers. God didn't call you to get results. He called you to do something. Paul said, each man receives his reward according to his labor, not according to the fruit. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's why if you are planning to be a businessman or whatever, go and listen to our CD, Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies Seminar, all right? I explained something that these are the principles that Christians use to do business. If the business collapses after that, it collapses in the will of God. There's collapse in the will of God, though. There is. Let me tell you the truth. There is. But the only thing I say all the time, if you read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I talked at the last chapter, sometimes I said Isaac's die. But the spirit of Isaac, you can never kill it. If it was truly Isaac, take the body down. The spirit will rise in bodies bigger and stronger than the one that it lost. That's the principle of Isaac. That you tried is recorded in heaven. Those who do not try. You know the one man, he said, I gave you talent. Where is it? Okay, as you give them to me, a complete. That also, his judgment was not that he didn't make money, but that he did not even try. But let's give thanks. Say, Father, I thank you that I tried. Let's begin to give thanks. Say, Father, I thank you that at least I tried. Yes, I may have failed, but failure is only for those who tried. Men who never did anything, they can't say they failed. Say, Lord, I thank you for the spirit of trying. And if you had never tried, say, Lord, I repent for not trying. I want you to give God thanks. Say, Lord, that I tried. People call you foolish, but at least you did it in the integrity of your heart. You did it by faith. I said, there is collapse even with God. That is, if a man working with God, he can lose things. I mean, the first time Moses tried, he lost. But I believe very strongly, if he never tried, he showed that his heart was never with the children of Israel. He tried to deliver them at the time, and he only caused trouble. But then, that same man who tried, listen to this story. Moses was the person who tried before. Amen? What did he get out of it? Nothing. Trouble. Alright? That's all he got. Nothing positive. But that same man who tried first time and failed was the same person God called after 40 years. And this time around, God gave him a mighty arm. Alright? It was the hand of God he went with, and this time around he succeeded. Let me prophesy to you. Your comeback will be with the grace of God. Amen. And you will succeed just by lifting your hands and speak, just uttering voices. You won't fight anybody. Before you were waking up very early and meeting everybody on earth to get the business to run, what happened? He died. But at least you tried. But this time around, in peace you will lie down and sleep. Because the Lord alone is making you dwell in safety.
Amen.
God will give to you even while you sleep.
Amen.
The same Moses that tried the first time and failed is the same Moses that God brought back, and then this time around he made him succeed.
Amen.
You will succeed again.
Amen.
Let's give God thanks again. You know, that's why it's good to explain things. You know, we said we have to decode these letters. Discode these words so that we can use them properly in Thanksgiving. Now you thank God. Say, Lord, I thank you that I failed the first time. Lord, I thank you that I failed the first time. Lord, I thank you. Thank you because at least now I'm coming back. I'm coming back in style. This time around, I'm returning with the grace of God. Grace for success. This time around, I'm returning with power from above. This time around, I'm returning with a mighty hand. Said, the Lord has sent me and His Spirit. Say, Lord, I thank you because you alone have sent me and your Spirit. Isaiah said, my reward is with my God. I want you to prophesy. You know, we are giving thanks and we are prophesying. I want you to prophesy. Say, my reward is with my God. Declare it loud. Say, my reward is with my God. Declare it loud. Say, my reward is with my God. Say, where I failed before, I am coming back to succeed there. Where the Egyptians drove me out, I am returning to deliver the people. Because I am coming back with the grace of God. Because I'm coming back with the wisdom from above. Say, Father, I give you thanks. Because of the great reward you have for my life. Now listen to this, verse 5. We are reading Isaiah chapter 49. Verse 5. And now says the Lord who formed me. That is, you see, like I said, there are procedures for everything. Don't forget, when Jonah began to give thanks, the fish began to respond. Do you get my point? Now, when you respond like this, that surely the justice due to me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. Hear what the Lord says in return. He said, now says the Lord who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him in order that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, verse 6, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved one of Israel. The preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You know what he was saying here? The first idea you had was a small idea. Do you hear what I said? Compared with what God wants to do in your life, the first idea you had was a small idea. There's something I tell my wife all the time. It's a prophetic word. Look, I tell her, I'm your prophet, you know. My wife used to work in the bank those days. And when we came to Enugu, she started working in UB. And after a few years, after my son Akinlu was born, and she resigned from the job. He was able to do what? I said, yes, to go and do the primary assignment she has in life. Take care of me and the boy. And have more boys after that. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. For what I said, look, the simple reason was that I said from time. Somebody has to raise children. It's either me or my wife. But I'm not going to have children raised by people I don't know. By then, you're waking up at 6 o'clock, leaving the house at 6:15. I mean, waking up by 5, waking up at 6:15, and returning at 9 p.m. You have turned me into the mommy of the house. And from the beginning, we agreed. We are getting married. You will be the wife. I will be the husband. Is that not what they said? The day we were taking vows, they said, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Not your lawful wedded husband. No, it's true. You didn't notice? No, it was an arrangement. You will be the wife. I will be the husband. Do you get the point? Uh-huh. So you be cannot turn me to a wife. No, they are not my God. They did not wed me. They didn't give me a wife. So why should they reverse what God has set in a particular order in which I agreed? So when it was being tempted, threatened that I should become the wife, I said, na lie, in Jesus' name, na lie. So after that, my wife resigned from there. And to come and do what? Nothing. Just what she did was just to enroll for MBA immediately. She wasn't looking for a job. Just that, you know, idleness is not good for the brain. It begins to shrink. You need to look like a baboon's brain after a while. Idleness is not good. I've told you, even if you don't have any so-called job you are doing, now go and find something to do. I'm telling you the truth. Idleness shrinks the brain. You all right? So she resumed postgraduates. But this is the point I'm making. I say I'm a prophet. I told you half then, and I'm still saying it today, and I still remember her this morning. When she was leaving, the people say, why? Hey, are you sure it is wise? Can you come? Yeah, I say, bank is not a god, though. Do you understand my point? God, look, God is God. He said, I'm God and there is none else. Why are people trembling like this as if anybody who doesn't work here will die? But I said, listen to me. Those who are telling you that this is not a wise decision, who are saying behind your back that this is foolish, one day they will phone you and say, madam, how now? Ah, you don't forget also. you know, I need to meet my target. Oh, my target is 100 million. Please, can you give me 50 million, please? And she'll say, Habba, I just gave somebody 50 million last week. Look, the best I can do is 25. All right? Pick the check. I'll leave it in my office as I'm going out. That is a prophetic word. It will come to pass 10 times. Are you getting my point? You know what God is saying? He said, the dream you had is too small. That's why I didn't even support it. It was too small. I like one story that was told about Abraham Lincoln. How many of you know about Abraham Lincoln, American president? Then, almost all posts he contested for, he lost until the presidency. Do you get my point? There were only one or two, you know. He was a politician for a long time. Let's bring it up to Nigerian level. A man wanted to be counselor. He tried. They defeated him. He said, okay, I want to do counselor. He tried to be chairman. They defeated him. He said, okay, no, I'm going to House of Reps. Local House of Assembly, self. He tried. They said, I lie. He tried for governor. He almost won. They defeated him. When something happened, he lost again. Let me make a long story short. I think he won only one party leadership election. Maybe like be vice chairman for PDP of Enugu State. You know, that kind of thing. Then one day, the man decided he wanted to be president. One way or the other, he won the presidency. And is the reason America did not break up. So all those wise wanted to be governor, be this, be senator, God's in a lie. It is too small a thing. Go back into the Bible. Verse 6. He said, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant. Only to raise the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. He said, I will make you a light of the nations. The word nations. In fact, my wife was reading the Bible this morning. Said the Bible said, let the peoples praise you. She said, I love the word peoples. You know, there's person, there's people, and there is peoples. When you hear the word peoples in the Bible, it means that it's nations we are dealing with. The one nation is people. Plenty, plenty people. But when we are taking different people, and when you hear peoples, that is Oyinbo people, black people, Asian people, that is peoples. Let's declare, say, I am a light to the nations. I am a light to the peoples.
I am a light to the
peoples. I am not a local champion.
I am a light to the
peoples. I am going somewhere to shine.
I am a light to the
peoples. I am a light to the peoples. Say, Father, I thank you. Let's give thanks. Again, I say it's Thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I thank you because of where I am today. Thank you because of that. Oh, look, listen. Anyone who has tried a job and has failed, who has had a business that did not do well, I want to start giving God thanks for that business. Say, Lord, I thank you because this time I tried to do this fish business, this poultry business, this farming business, this importation business, this trading business, this networking business, that one that did not work. Lord, I thank you for that particular business because by it I have come to understand that I am a light to the peoples. I am a light to the nations. 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 Say, Lord, I give you thanks because of the time that I failed. Lord, I give you thanks because of the times that things did not work well. I am like Moses. I shall yet return and deliver the people with a mighty hand because I am a light to the peoples. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I give you thanks. Now listen to this. He said, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. And his holy one to the despised one. Who's the despised one? The Bible says that rich men have many friends, but the poor man, even his family members, they despise him. Can you see what he's saying here? That's what the Bible says in Proverbs. He said, thus says the Lord to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. This is what God is saying to a man who's so low down. He said, a time will come. Kings shall see and arise. That is when you arrive, kings will see you and they will get up. He said, princes shall also bow down. Why? Because of the Lord who is faithful. I said, God does not disappoint people. The Holy One of Israel who has chosen you, let us declare. You say concerning your life. He said, I may be despised today. Say that.
But it shall come to pass
according to the decree of God Almighty.
According to the decree of God Almighty.
That kings will see me and they will arise. Princes will see me and they will bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful. And the Holy One of Israel who has chosen me. Let me tell you, as a matter of fact, the place where you went to for a job and you were not worthy. Let me tell you the story of Barack Obama. The Democratic Convention, 4 years before he became president, he came, he did not have it. Was it that one or the one before that? He came, there was no seat for him. Do you hear what I said? There are so many people, there was no seat for him. I think 8 years after that, he was going to be president. Yet, one, he showed up, they were having convention, imagine PDP National Convention. As a delegate, I arrived, where I go sit? Ah, boy, you not come on time, sit, don't finish. Sit, don't finish. And then the very next one, he gave an address. The following one, he became the presidential candidate. You see the way it works? That's why he said, thus says the Lord to the man who is despised right now. The places where, you know, I've said before, when you go to a bank to negotiate a facility, and they say, where's your the marriage certificate of your grandfather and your grandmother? He said, marriage certificate. He said, in Agelan for village. Where is the deed with which the founding man of the village gave it to your great-grandfather? Are you getting my point? Listen, the same bank, listen to me. Write their name down that day. One day you will sit at home, you phone the manager, say, please bring 15 million naira and 100 naira notes to my house. I need it now. And he will say, yes, sir. The time my wife used to work in UB, there's one man I won't mention his name, was one notorious guy in this town. He said the man used to throw their banking hall into distress. He will call the manager and say, bring me 50 million naira in 200 naira notes. Mint, all of it. Hey! Then they can reach there and say, no, take half back and bring it in 100 naira notes. And they'll be running up and down. Who is this human being that anytime he phones, my manager can't sit down again? There are people like that too. There are those that they can write a check on the back of their complimentary card. No, I'm telling you, look, they'll take their card, turn the back, and say, please pay bearer 1.8 million naira, and they sign it. Say, get the gift to the manager. The man, if they're not born and rich, may deny that check. That's the meaning of kings shall see and arise, princes shall also bow down. He said, because of the Lord who is faithful. And listen, I need you to understand something. When he was prophesying this, he said, I'm speaking to a man who is despised. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't feel bad when you are rejected in places. Listen, the Bible says that when Peter was writing, he said these prophets prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It's always like that. When you are despised today, just look down. There's a glory that God wrote after that. So this is how we handle it. We give thanks for the despising, and then we prophesy the glory to come. There's a foolish and ungodly way to respond. Ah! Man, don't suffer. And these people are not people like me. Then they tell me, say, I know if you enter. Ah! Oh my God, they see me. Then you reach out. They look at your papa and say, where were you when other people were getting connection? There are children who behave like that. They feel like the only problem I have is this kind failure man way bomb me. The fish is about to digest that fellow. You know the digestion of the fish. You know we have been discussing it. Anybody, especially Christian, any Christian, any child of God who behaves like that will be digested by the fish of life. Do you follow my point? But how are real Christians supposed to respond? We look at, when you are despised, you say, God, there is a prophecy for those who are despised. Then you find it. Let's declare again. Say, according to the decree of the Almighty. According to the decree, to the principle of sufferings and glory to follow. Say that. Before we speak further, sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. That's what Peter said. This is how it is. There is the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Are you getting my point? So according to that principle, declare, and according to the will of my Father God. Say it. And according to the will of my Father God. Though I am despised now, a time shall come that kings shall see me and they will rise. That rulers will bow down at my presence. Because of the Lord who is faithful. And the Holy One of Israel who has chosen me. Let's go to the next verse, verse 8. He said, thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages, saying to those who are bound, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on bare heights, on all bare heights. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will the scorching heat or sun strike them. Let me stop. I will read down further, but there's something I want to bring out, all right? For those of you around on Saturday, I explained something that, look, I look for messages that I have to learn also. I can't be the one teaching all the time. So there's this man, Charles Stanley. I watch him on TV. He talks very nicely, very coolly. I heard later that he's the chief editor of Devotional Study Bible, or one of those popular study materials. I don't know which one for sure. So I'm listening to him for a while, and the man really blesses me. So I got to his website and started downloading his messages. So I put the first set in my car yesterday. I'm listening to it since. And the man explained something to one of the ones I listened to today. He said that that your life must make a statement. That in fact, God is trying to make statements with your life. And you've heard me say something like that before, if you listen to me for a long time. I said, God doesn't have any address. If I ask you where you are staying, you can tell me, number 25, O'Connor Street, off this and that. You know, you give me an address. Say, where's God's address? He doesn't have. The only address he has is the life of the people that he has walked with and he has blessed. So when they say, where is your address? Say, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In the New Testament, you hear God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had to be a living person. They had to have seen him. You have heard of Jesus Christ, whom God anointed. That is, the way I describe the God is by describing the life of Jesus Christ for you. What am I saying? Your life is supposed to describe the person of God. Listen, I told you before, God can bless you anytime. But why he hasn't is that he said, no, if I bless you like this, you will use money to misrepresent me. Do you follow my point? So what I do first is I first teach you how to represent me. Then I will now give you the resources with which you can represent me effectively. And that's what God was saying here. He said, in a favorable time I have answered you. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people. And that's number one. That is, you are my representative before the people. And number two, this is a problem a lot of people have. We think that God is just blessing us so that we can eat. Today I went to UNEC. And as I was climbing one particular faculty building, I was hearing everywhere. What? Small generators in the university. Every department has its own. Every photocopier beside the place has its own. Every corner, the dean's office has its own. I said, ah! And I told myself, this is such a field that somebody should be able to design something to stop this noise. It's not by silencing the generators, but by rearranging so that everybody will connect somewhere, even if NEPA is not producing. Then the money they are using to buy this gen and fueling it, they will be giving. I was just thinking, do you get my point? God said, look, he said, what I have appointed you for, what I'm going to show you, how I'm going to show my glory in you, what I'm trying to achieve in all of that is so that you will restore the land to make the people inherit the places that used to be desolate. What he was saying is that you are a redeemer of the peoples. He said you will have the ability to say to those who are bound, go forth. Let me explain what I'm saying. I'm a doctor, and I've been to hospital. I've seen a lot of things. There are people who die because they don't have 2,000 naira. And you think the doctor is heartless. He has seen too many. He doesn't notice anymore. The first two or three, he tried to pay by himself. After a while, he got used to it. I'm telling you. But the people do not have enough powers, all right, in themselves to look at somebody and say, go forth. What it means is that you were bound. Now be released from your sickness. One day my wife went, she was pregnant, she went to do a scan, you know, the normal pregnancy scan. And one woman came to do an ultrasound scan for her son that was ill. Maybe she brought like 1,500 naira, I don't know the price again. And she got there and discovered it was 2,000 naira. Ah, but I thought it was supposed to be 1,005 now. He said, sorry, madam, now 2,000. Now he turned to the boy, begin abuse the small sick boy. You remember the story? Push the boy ahead. What is wrong with you? Ah, my wife said, madam, stop now. It is not the boy's fault that he's sick. You think he plans to be sick? He did not plan it. So she beat her in her pocket and gave her the money that was missing. Do you get my point? So that the woman could stop beating the boy. It is called saying to the boy who is bound, go forth. Do you get what I'm saying? You're following my principle. That's power. Everybody say power.
Power.
God said, this is what I will do with your life. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So that when you are declaring, you know, a lot of Christians will declare very selfishly. Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer. I will buy a hammer. That's a foolish declaration. All you are thinking of is what you will buy, what you will drive. I saw that joke somewhere. I think it was on TV program. I never forgot it. Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer, and I will buy a hammer. No. No, I want to say this. Say, Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer, and I will say to the bound,
go forth.
Do you understand my point? That's a better declaration. God said, in a favorable time, I have answered it. Everybody shout. He said, thus says the Lord.
In a favorable time,
he has answered me.
In a day of salvation,
he has helped me.
And he will yet help me.
He said, he will keep me
and give me as a covenant to the people.
To restore the land.
To make them inherit the desolate heritages.
I will say to the bound,
because of the abundance of resources,
and because of the abundance of ability,
I will say to the bound,
go forth.
Let me explain what that means.
I was watching Sunday Adelaja today on TV. How many of you know Sunday Adelaja? The pastor of the largest church in Ukraine. I saw him once, you know, I referred to him once. Okay, it was not here I preached with him. It was not in Onitsha last week. There was this Anglican church program I went to preach in Onitsha last week. I described the situation there. And I saw the man on TV this morning. And the man was describing how problems came to their family. He had an elder, you know, African system, an elder brother, I think it was his cousin actually, was thinking of everybody in the immediate family. And that was his presidential advisor those days. Another person who was a university lecturer, another woman who was a business woman, all of them siblings, a brother, a sister. And they all died within 6 months. And if you know my people, African people, they are Ijebu people, all right? If you know, they say, this old woman, because it was grandmother was looking after the whole family, said, this old woman must be a witch. That was how she ate the 3 children. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's how people reason. So they now neglected her that if you go near, she go chop you too. Everybody dropped out of school immediately after that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Those are people, listen, he said, there are those who are bound. You say to them, go forth. And to those who are in darkness, that is, they are hiding. Do you follow my point? He said, you will say to them, show yourself. He said, he was a senior prefect. His juniors will see him after a hawking pap. You know the pap? Erogiakot. That's how they did it, my son. Akam, yes. That's what he hawking. He said, he has to do that every day to be able. He said, thank God for Awolowo who made education there free. But to be able to buy socks, buy shirt to wear to school, he had to work like this throughout the year. There are many people who are brilliant. Nobody's paying. So they are hidden. Why God wants to prosper you is so that you can say to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Amen. You brilliant young men, come to school. Are you getting my point? So you see, we need to decode this so you know why God wants to bless you. If he has blessed you before now, you won't be here this evening to hear this. Like me running riot on the streets. Causing trouble in AMPP. But God said, no, you must go and hear this. So that when I bless you after now, you know where to go. You go back to your village and say, all right, I'm going to set a test in 2 months' time. And this is the syllabus. Anybody that passes, the first 20 people, the top 20,
free education, maybe start in primary, at least to the end of secondary school. Because you don't have that money yet. Do you have that particular one? You can handle secondary school for everybody. So the first 20, listen, let me tell you, start this thing earlier. Don't wait till you are old. Don't wait till you have 10 million naira. Secondary school education is not expensive. You can give scholarship to 10 people in your village. You can be, look, listen, these are the kind of powers that God will give you. NYSC, you will go there and say, post, I want somebody with a BSc in physics or chemistry or maths to go out to my village. And as the guy is showing up, say, come. I will arrange a nice accommodation for you. I'll give you a small generator. And I will give you on top of Alawi 15K a month. Please don't redeploy. That's what men do. That's what God is saying. You will say to those who are bound, go for, let's declare again. He said, God will empower me.
God will empower me.
So that I'll be able to say to those who are bound,
go free.
And I will say to those who are hidden in darkness,
show yourselves.
Listen to me. This is what God will do in your life.
Amen.
I said, this is what God will do in your life.
Amen.
I said, this is what God will do in your life.
Amen.
Begin to declare concerning your tomorrow. You are a significant day. You are coming. I declare that light will be in my hands and I will show light to the peoples. I am a salvation that God has made. I am not a non-entity. Therefore, I will not die in obscurity. Therefore, I will not die in darkness. Therefore, I will not die small. I declare that greatness is my portion. Now, you know what you do with greatness. So, don't keep quiet. Say, I declare that greatness is my portion. I declare that bright days are coming upon me. I thank God for where I am right now. I thank God that I may be small right now. But this is the word of God to the small people. He said, you will become so great that you will be a blessing to many peoples. He said, you will become so great that you will be a blessing to many peoples. Declare it. Say, God will empower me. Declare. This is my favorite scripture. I want you to declare this one with me. Isaiah 66 verse 12. He said, behold. I want you to declare. Say, behold.
Behold.
God is causing prosperity to flow towards me like a river.
God is causing prosperity to flow towards me.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
And the wealth of the nations like an overflowing
stream. So that I may do the will of God in this nation.
So that I may do the will of God in this nation.
So that I may be a light for many peoples.
So that I may be a light for many peoples.
Says, prosperity I speak to you.
Come to me in the name of
Jesus
Christ.
Abundance resources.
Abundance resources.
I speak to you. Come and you have work to do with me in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come, you have work to do with me in the name of Jesus Christ.
He said, God will make all grace abound towards me.
God will make all grace abound towards me.
So that having all sufficiency in all things.
So that having all sufficiency in all things.
I will abound to all kinds of good works.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
He said, though my yesterday was small,
but my latter end shall greatly increase.
He said, this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ,
that though he was rich,
yet for my sake
he became poor,
that I through his poverty
might become rich.
Say, I will use his riches for the will of God.
I will speak to those who are bound.
I will say to them, go forth.
I will say to those who are in darkness,
show yourselves.
Say,
Father, I give you thanks. Begin to give God thanks once again. Say, Lord, I worship you. Let's give God for that thanksgiving of Jonah again. Say, Lord, I may not be where I am supposed to be. I may not be where I want to be. I may not be where I know I am going to be right now, but Lord, I thank you because I know I am heading for that place. I worship you. I worship you because of the word. He said, I rejoice at thy word as those that find great treasure. I rejoice at thy word as those who have find great treasure. Say, Lord, I thank you for the glories that follow my sufferings. Lord, thank you for the glories that follow my sufferings. I may be despised today. There is a word that describes my tomorrow. The word says that kings shall see me and they will arise. And princes also will bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful. And the Holy One of Israel who has chosen me. So in a favorable time God has answered me. And he shall yet answer me. And in the day of salvation he has helped me. And he shall yet help me. He has given me as for a covenant of the people. To restore the land. And to make them inherit desolate heritages. I will say to those who are bound, go forth. And to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Say, I am a light to the nations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please, everybody, just go to verse 14 of Isaiah chapter 49. He said, but Zion said, that stands for the people of God. The Lord has forsaken me. It happens to the Lord. You see, these are true issues of life. People think something that God has forgotten them. And the Lord has forgotten me. God now answered. He said, can a woman forget her nursing child? That is a difficult thing. And have no compassion on the son of her womb. Now, we know that these things are very, very, very unlikely to happen. But God said, even this may forget. Because this happens once in a while. About 6 children die a year in America. That the parents forget them locked up in the car. Then they come out, the child has suffocated. It happens once in a rare while. It's not often. All right? So God said, I know one day you hear of those circumstances. So let me tell you, even if they forget, I will not forget you. Listen, you know why God says these things? Because there are times it appears as if he has forgotten. There are times you sit down, you cross your leg, and you put a hand under your head and look at the sky. And say, God, you sure say you did there? Are you getting my point? Yes, it happens. But hear ye the word of the Lord. The Lord said he has not forgotten you, that he can't. It doesn't have the ability to forget you. You know why? He said, behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I was speaking to Zion, a fenced city, so he had walls. He said, your builders hurry. Your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. Listen, I told you, look, life has stages. Anytime you are down, these are the prophetic words. You know, remember our incantations? If you're in the cult of Christ, say amen.
Amen.
If you're a babalawo for Christ, shout amen.
Amen.
If you are the original Dibia that God has made, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, we are the real. I've told you, when you see a local Dibia, say, oh boy, come and bow. Your senior boys have come. We are in the real inner covenants, in the real things. And we also have incantations that we use. When you have troubles, this is where you go to. That's why we read these scriptures together. When it looks like God has forgotten you, you bring out an incantation because the devil starts using those things to make you get you discouraged. And if you are not, look, I told Satan all he can do is tempt. He wants to discourage you. Because once you are discouraged, you lose your reward. He said, don't be weary of doing good. Because in due season, there's a season. Everybody shout, there's a season. In due season, you will reap your reward. But he said this, if you faint not. A lot of people faint. I told you, that's what happens. I've observed a lot of people faint along the way. You think that the word of God didn't work. No, they got tired before the due season. So when discouragement wants to set in, you open to Isaiah chapter 49, in this verse 14, and verse 15, where it says, God has said, I will not forget you. You declare, this is our incantation, declare. Say, I am inscribed on the palms of God's hands. Describe it. My walls are continually before him. Listen, you know what he said? He said, your destroyers and devastators will depart from you. Listen, when you have troubles, begin to declare. Say, my destroyers and my troubles, they will depart from me. My troubles will depart from me. My destroyers will depart from me. The things that are keeping me down now will depart from me. Listen to this verse 18. He said, lift up your eyes and look around. All of them gather together. They come to you. As I leave. Now, he's describing something here. You shall surely put on all of them as jewels. And bind them as a bride. For your waste and desolate places and your destroyed land. Surely now you will be too cramped for the inhabitants. And those who swallowed you will be far away. The children of whom you were bereaved will say to you in your ears. The place is too cramped for me. Let me quickly decode this, alright, so we can get the reality of it. What he was saying was this. He was using Zion, Jerusalem, alright, as an illustration of when the lives of Christians have been devastated.
when you have looked for good and it seemed like it's only evil that you find. He said, this is what will happen. Your destroyers will depart. That it will happen. Listen to this. I like to use money as an example because it's something we can easily relate with. All right? And even Jesus used to do it. He talked parable of the talents and all of that. He said, the places where you invested money and you lost money, what he was saying, your desolate places, your children of whom you were bereaved, the products you were selling, things that, you know, maybe you have a shop and then now you used to be stuck before now, there's very little happening there. God said, this is what will happen one day. A day will come, your store manager will come and say, sir, we need to hire another warehouse. That this one has become too small for us. Listen to me. There are government legislations that are released and businesses closed. Do you know that? That's a destroyer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The ideas you have, and they say, the power, the decree or law concerning power generation in Nigeria states this. And for that reason, state governments have not been able to do anything. Are you getting my point? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Those decrees will depart from this land.
Amen.
Listen, Christians are not supposed to settle down and be grumbling. You are supposed to say, okay, why can't you do this? They said, this has been done. He said, listen, my destroyer will depart from me. If there is a government decree that is holding back your business, you will declare, my destroyers will depart from me. The time will come. The shop that was empty, they will tap to you and say, Oga, I think this place is too small. Why don't you leave this area and go and hire a bigger one? That's what Isaiah was saying here. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? You start a school. He said, I don't have too many pupils. A time will come. You will say, how can you put 50 pupils in one classroom? Say, this building is too small. We need to go and hire a big... In fact, let's go and buy land towards MNN and start constructing. Because where we are right now is too small. That's what he means when he says, your children will come and say to you that this place is too cramped for us. Are you getting my point? Now that you understand it, let's declare again. Let's now go back. He said, my destroyers and devastators will depart away from me.
My destroyers and devastators will depart from me.
I want to say this. He said, my waste and desolate places and my destroyed land. Say that loud.
My waste and desolate places and my destroyed land.
Will soon be too cramped for inhabitants. Desolate means there is nobody there. Do you understand my point? You have a business. To stay afloat, you need about 15 clients a day. Right now, you get like 5. Are you getting my point? You must learn to talk. You will give God thanks and begin to declare, a time will come. You thought you needed only 3 members of staff to attend to customers. You will need 10. I didn't hear amen.
Yeah.
Am I talking to myself? That's what it means when they say that people will come and say, this place is too cramped. Let me tell you, if you want to buy and sell, I want Christians to open their eyes. I see shops in Enugu, you know this shop downstairs, it make me laugh. That man doesn't have vision. I don't care how much money he's making, he doesn't have vision. But the amount of customers you don't use barcode, you decrease. 2010. You know they call barcoding? Okay, you never come up for Enugu before, don't be your fault. I mean, you go to Lagos, you know, see shop. We just reached as you. I mean, there was a day, there was one shop in Surulere. Oh, even Roban's there, sorry. You just have a scanner, all right? Or just roll the thing up and one transparent glass like this. Computer will be peeping. That way, instead of saying, how much is this? How much be this particular price? That one, you just swipe the thing. They don't barcode everything. Those ideas should be in your mind because God is saying that one day your customers will complain that this place is too cramped for us. So you need to have ways to make sure they don't line up for too long. All right, can I have your things? Boom, pim, 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 pim. Without you saying a word, the total cost, all right, displays for the customer to see, counts the money, and you collect your money, and that's it. Instead of this saying that, how much is this one? The labor don't fall, come out to call your partner. Say, how much is this labor? Those computers are designed to help you make more money. Not to make Dell rich or HP rich or Compaq rich. No, they were designed to help you make more money. Believers should learn to open their eyes and reach out for such things. Is that here? Amen. Because it will come to pass. Declare it. It will come to pass.
It will come to pass.
That my customers will complain one day.
That
this place has become too small for us.
Say,
it will come to pass.
That
my clients become so plenty.
That
I will have to increase my staff strength tenfold.
Because of the Lord who is
faithful. And the Holy One of Israel who has chosen me. Let us declare, though my yesterday be small,
yet my latter end shall greatly increase.
Let me read this and we'll leave. Verse 22. It said, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lift up my hand to the nations and set up my standard to the peoples. And they will bring your sons in their bosom and your daughters will be carried on their shoulders. And kings will be your guardians and their princesses your nurses. They will bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick the dust of your feet. And you will know that I am the Lord. Oh God, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Oh. And those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. I like to decode these things. Your daughters, your sons, they can refer to ideas that you have. Listen, God will send Indians, Chinese people, those are nations. Oh, they are best engineers. They are best technicians. We come to come and help you birth the ideas that you have in your heart.
Amen.
You know who kings are? There are men who God gave a lot of money. I don't want to mention it. There's one man in Nigeria. He has one of the most stable banks in this country. One day my friend was saying that his younger brother wanted to buy a house from them. His younger brother, who he made rich, wanted to buy a house from them for 450 million naira just to live in it. This big guy made this boy rich, his brother. As a young boy, listen, he used to hawk oranges in Yaba in Lagos. How did he start that bank? I still remember the gist those days. He had sense. So he got that man and said, you guys bring money, let's start a bank. The men who brought money are called kings. Do you get my point? They come to nurse your children, your ideas. That is, you say, look, this is what we cost. If you give me 5 million naira, I will give you 10% of the company. You will sell 40% at 5 million. All you put is your idea and you own 60%. Listen to me. In 10 years' time, the company will be worth a few billions of naira. And you will own 60% of it. What happened? Kings came and they nursed your children. That's what it means. That kings will come and they will nurse your children. Look, listen. Oh God, I pray that believers will learn to enter into God's rest. Because he said, because those who hopefully wait for the Lord will never be put to shame. I have discovered that it will never happen. I prayed this prayer long ago. I said, God, it will never happen. And I know it will never happen. That somebody will look at me and say, we told him. Told me what? What people will say is that, this boy was wise. Because those who hopefully wait for him, the Bible said they will never be put to shame. Let me declare to you again. Kings will see you and they will arise.
Amen.
Listen. Kings will come and nurse your children.
Amen.
You know what children mean now? Ideas. The plans. The things you want to birth. You don't have money. People will gather and say, this thing you have said must be done.
Amen.
Listen, I used to say that David was so powerful. He could take any of those his warriors in battle. It's not true. David could kill Goliath. But he was afraid of Joab. I'm telling you. Joab was an area boy that God gave the spirit of the warrior. One day David looked and said, these sons of Zariah, they are too much a problem for me. David would say, whoever takes that giant down, I'm making the chief of staff. Joab said, give me the sword. Runs after a giant. This is not David that killed giants. There were many men like that, men who could sling with the right hand and with the, what David used to kill Goliath, they could sling with the right hand and with the left. The Bible said they will string at a strand of hair and they will not miss. All these men gathered, laid their swords down and said, David, point in any direction, we kill anybody. No, that's what they used to do. These were strong men. Yes, they will come to David and say, point in any direction, we kill anybody. David said, now wow, man just did thirsty. He said, bring water. Bring a sharp both men, the water I would like to drink.
Now that one within that gate of Jerusalem, between there where they were and there was a garrison of Philistine soldiers. Three men said, oh, God won't drink water. Come, let's go. You don't get what I'm saying. They fought their way through an army, fetch water, carry the water, fought their way back, and said, David, drink. That was how much honor. Do you get my point? God placed upon this man. Men stronger than him came. The Bible said they amassed as a great army, like the army of God. They came to establish David as a king. You don't need all strength. You hear what I said? No, you need God's favor. Let me declare to you again. That favor is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. Did you hear what I said? He said, those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. If your faith is in Christ Jesus, listen to me. Men will gather and they will help you.
Amen.
Men will gather and they will help you.
Amen.
And your help will come from the strangest of places. One of a colleague of mine, who's now is a consultant at UNT, now when he finished the postgraduate training, he said he was looking for a job. His panel beater said to him, you want to work in UNT? Yeah, I can help you. And he looked at the panel beater and said, will you shut your mouth and do your work? After some time, the man told him, when you are ready, shall call me. One day, he called the man through to the man, said, come, let us go. His panel beater got a consultant at UNT a job. I heard a story before of one young boy who used to go to the market. One day he went to the market, was lamenting and groaning and complaining. And one man who sold books said, what is the problem? He said, I wanted to get admission to UNN, this UNN. I tried, it didn't work. I don't know anybody, nothing, nothing. The man said, you're a very foolish boy. You've been coming here all these days. Why didn't you tell me? He brought out his bike, jumped on top. He rode his bike to the front of the VC's house, knocked the door. Said, Vice Chancellor, this is my son. It's my boy, he needs admission. Okay, where are your papers? They gave the boy admission at UNN. Said the man, the bookshop owner, not me saying no person. He and the VC were probably in the same class as in primary school. Just that the VC went this way, he went the other way. Listen to me, from every angle, from any angle, men will come, they will help you.
Amen.
Princesses will nurse your children.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The army that God will gather around you will be so great, it will be like the army of God.
Amen.
And they will establish you a king in your own Israel.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. Because kings are coming to help me. Because princesses are coming to nurse my daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I worship and I thank you. Lord, I worship and I thank you. Lord, I worship and I thank you. Let's just worship the Lord.